Console Boys back, brand new episode. You know how it goes. Me, the homie Mikey B.
Video games are really cool. Excited to talk about them again.
Yeah. The news is popping for video games. So before we jump into, you know, the ones and twos of the podcast, Mikey B's got the top 10 something this week.
Mm-hmm.
What you got for us, Mikey B?
MPD just came out with their best-selling games for this first year of 2022. Let's go with Xbox. You're an Xbox guy at heart. That is your system of choice. You have a PlayStation and a Switch, but that's, you know, your favorite system, I would say. The number one game for January 2022. Any guesses?
I don't even know what came out in January for Xbox.
I wouldn't have to be the games coming out. It's any game that's ever available for Xbox that was bought in January would be it. It's not specifically like new games only.
Gotcha. Halo, is that in there?
Halo's at number 5.
Halo, gotta be. Oh, geez, man. Halo. Honestly, man, I have no clue.
No problem. Call of Duty Vanguard is number 1.
The game sucks. How's that number 1 still, dude?
It's also number 1 for PlayStation games.
Oh, brother.
Madden is number 2. Madden NFL 2022. Number 3 is Far Cry 6. Number 4 is Battlefield 2042. Number 5 is Halo Infinite. Number 6 is Forza Horizon 5. Number 7 is Rainbow Six Extract, which actually is a new game that came out in January. That was number five for PlayStation. Nice. Number 8 is NBA 2K 2022. Number 9 is FIFA 2022. And number 10 is Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War.
I'm surprised that Cold War is still in there.
That is very interesting. That's a very old game.
This is a 2-year game, I think.
I agree.
Those are like the usual suspects, I feel. Yeah. Madden, FIFA, Halo's different, but
true.
Definitely want to take a, you know, stab at that Extraction. It's on Game Pass too, so hopefully get one of the homies to jump on and we'll try that bad boy out. But Vanguard, dude. Ugh. Sour taste in my mouth. No thanks.
Let's go up to Nintendo. Nintendo, number 1 game. Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Gotta be. I was like, if that's not the first number 1 game.
What's number 2, you think?
System's rigged. I don't know, like Mario Kart, because that's always going to be on there.
Great call, Josh. It is. Mario Kart 8 is number 2.
Telling you, man, that Switch bundle thing it's a thing. Like, you have to buy a Switch and you have to buy Mario Kart. So, it is what it is. So, it's Mario Kart. Breath of the Wild's got to be on there.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild is number 8.
Nintendo Switch. I don't know. Well, maybe like Ring Fit?
No, it's not in the top 10. Also, on there is Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl at number 3. Number 4 is Mario Party Superstars.
Whoa, I forgot about that.
Number 5 is Animal Crossing New Horizons. Number 6 is Smash. Number 7 is Just Dance 2022. Number 8, like I said a little bit, is Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Number 9 is Super Mario 3D World. And number 10 is New Super Mario Bros.
Again, usual suspects, you know what I mean? I'm surprised that, like, I'm not really surprised that Mario Kart's still there, but, like, the new Mario Party's in there. Ever since, like, I think because the new Mario Party didn't, you know, do so hot. So, who knows?
Now, on to the grand finale of this one. What do you think is the best-selling game of the best-selling January game for 2022 overall?
It's got to be
regardless of consoles, PC, Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo.
I don't know if Pokemon had enough to beat out Vanguard, but I'm going to stick with Pokemon.
Very good. Sticking to your guts, and that rings true.
Yeah.
Because Pokemon Legend Arceus is a best-selling game of January of 2022, which is very impressive because I believe that game came out towards the end of January.
Yeah, it's like the last week.
So in 1 week, it became the best-selling game. Number two, as you said, as you kind of predicted, Call of Duty Vanguard. Number three, is Monster Hunter Rise, which was a Nintendo Switch exclusive and got available for PC and other consoles. So that's my only guess why it made it.
Makes sense.
Number four, Madden NFL 2022. This is also a surprise to me. God of War.
That just got on Steam. That's why I feel.
Good call, Josh.
So it became like the best-selling PlayStation game on Steam.
Did not know. Number six, Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales. Number seven, FIFA 2022. Number eight, Mario Kart 8. Number nine, Rainbow Six Extraction. And number 10, Battlefield 2042.
Yuck. Dude, little side note, and we probably won't touch on this on the news, but like we're on it now. I saw that there's a petition going around that people want their money back for Battlefield 2042. The game's just that bad that very underwhelmed people want their money back. And that's not good. Last time we saw that was for Cyberpunk, and the game's in the graveyard already. So not looking too hot for EA. Yikes.
Oh, and last little data point before we get into what we've been playing. PlayStation 5 was the best-selling console for January 2022 for both units and dollars. Second was Xbox, and the number three was Nintendo Switch.
Does it tell you how many units, too, or no?
It does not.
Yeah, so it probably sold like 10 of them, and the rest of them were all sold out. That's how it got the top spot. I still don't get how that's possible. Like, we've talked about this like time and time again that like it's so hard to get these consoles, and it's like, how is it still breaking these records for, or not even records, just like selling the most? When, where are they coming from? You know what I mean? There's got to be like some secret raffle or something. I don't know. Breaking news.
They said basically it was the most available console. It was PlayStation 5. That's why it was number three. Breaking news, because you're a huge Call of Duty fan. The new Call of Duties have been announced.
Oh, word?
Yes, it's just dropped yesterday on the 11th.
Oh, shit. That's breaking news. Beep, 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 beep. Modern Warfare 2, Warzone 2. But where is Zombie Chronicles 2? I'm not going to sleep until we get that confirmed. Let's see. Stated that when Black Ops Cold War was added to Warzone, Warzone didn't feel like Modern Warfare anymore. Okay, that's kind of dumb. The future of Warzone does not feel like that. But they worked so well together. I loved it. This is great news, dude. This is great news, but I'm nervous.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that is Call of Duty Cold War was really good. And, you know, you have such high expectations after, like, you know, pretty beefy, like, updates. And, like, you get a whole bunch of new modes and a whole bunch of cool stuff and cool guns and all that sort of stuff. That when Vanguard came out, it was bad. So it's like trying to improve on what's already really good does not go over so well in Call of Duty. So I wonder if going from Warzone 1 to Warzone 2 is going to be the same. Because Warzone right now is not too bad. I mean, it's been around for a long time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if you're going to... I would rather them keep beefing that up than to make a brand new one. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I'm hesitant on that, but... I guess a little more stable, I guess. I don't know. But could be good news. New guns. boots are always nice, and maybe some cool new perks. Modern Warfare 2. That's cool. I wish they would do something else, but they did something else with Vanguard, and that got shit on, so maybe sticking back to something that works will bring them back, so cool. I like that, but hesitant.
So, Josh, what you've been playing?
Perfect segue. What I've been playing. So, this week, obviously, has been all about Pokemon. I beat the first storyline to it. So, I saved the world. No big deal. I was supposed to do it anyway. So, I saved the Hisui region, and I'm pretty much the best. So, did that. So I'm on to the second phase of the story round. So the second phase is more of like trying to find these other legendary Pokemon around the regions. So I'm doing that shit, and I am just kind of just dominating all the old areas that I used to not dominate in. So what the game has is they're called Alpha Pokemon. So they're pretty much like monsters roaming around the woods and shit. So what it is... they're kind of hard to, not hard to catch, but they'll like fuck you up if you are not prepared. So, but now I have higher level Pokemon and I'm over there just wrecking house and just catching things that I couldn't catch before. So working on the Pokedex and trying to get some more legendaries and maybe catch a couple shiny Pokemon while I'm at it. So, still really fun, man. I can't explain it. It's just something that just works so well, and I really enjoy playing it. So maybe that's gonna stick around until March, until Kirby comes out. So who knows? But hopefully, you know, I don't want to try to beat it too fast. You know what I mean? Because then I'm done. But I'll kind of just play around, fuck around, and you know, catch more shit and make some more money in the game. So Pokemon's cool. We briefly talked about this, but off mic, but I was getting back into Red Dead Redemption, dude. One of the homies told me to pick up my sticks and saddle up and re-downloaded the game and started that over again. So I played Red Dead when it came out for like, I'm going to be honest with you, dude. I think I played it for a week and then I stopped playing it. So it was kind of nice to jump back into the online mode with like nothing to kind of start grinding again and, you know, buying guns and not be over the top like in GTA where I have like millions of dollars and all the guns. So it's nice to start fresh, you know, rob a couple trains and do a couple bounties and make scraps for money to try to buy a gun that I'll never buy. So a lot of fun doing that so far, and I want to try to take advantage of like their hunting, because the game obviously got a couple more updates since I last played, so I want to see what they have to offer and hopefully maybe fall in love with the game all over again and give it more than a week. So besides that, dude, I think that's it. I haven't really been playing much. I got like maybe an hour of Nobody Saves the World, but that hour really didn't do shit in it. So that hour was pretty much just trying to walk through a cave, and then it is what it is. But with that being said, I did do that on the cloud gaming for Xbox, excuse me. So I got to try out cloud gaming a little more in depth in that hour. So yeah, it's still a little laggy, still a little choppy, but, you know, I'm playing the games on my computer versus the Xbox, so solid moves for Xbox. And, yeah, that's about it, dude. What about you?
Oh, just back into the world of Moonlighter.
Nice.
Exploring caves, trying to make good sales at the old Moonlighter shop.
Nice, dude. You find any cool gems or?
Yeah, because now I bought the DLC called In Between Dimensions. Nice. Mm-hmm. So now it opens up the gameplay a little more, just because you get like new items just like you normally would. But also it opens up the shop talk because now I'm trying to sell these new items. So it becomes this game within the game. It's like, how much can I sell this item for?
Mm-hmm.
And I like the way they kind of do it. They do it through like emojis. So like if a customer is looking at like intergalactic goo, I'm like, okay, I'm going to sell this for $5,000. And then like, if it's overpriced, they'll give you like a mad face, like with like a little like heat coming off the guy's head. And then they're like, okay, 5,000 is too much. Let me drop it down to 3. Then you get like a little like disappointed face, but like begrudgingly, okay, it's 3 grand. I'll buy it. Then, you know, okay, 3 grand is probably the most I could sell this item for before customers get upset. But the wrinkle is if you keep selling it for the high price point, the demand goes down rapidly. So all of a sudden, like, so you could have like 20 of them, like you, like on your next run, you could maybe find like 10 of them, but okay, that's 10. That's like 30, that's 30 grand right there. And my, you know, for me to upgrade my shop or whatever. But if you keep selling at the high price, then nobody will buy it. So that'll just be, then you have to like discount it. Then it becomes like almost like a discount item instead.
Yeah.
But like there's this tricky game within the game. It's like, how much can I sell this for? Where like the customer is satisfied buying it, but he isn't like so upset by it that he's not going to buy it like anymore. So I really enjoy that part of the game. It's like kind of like shopkeeper, me trying to figure out like how to like sell my wares for like a good price for the customers are happy and they keep coming back.
Would you ever restart the game and do like a dollar general sort of thing? Everything's a dollar, dude. Just get a good rep and just sell things for dirt cheap and try to manage the business that way, you know?
I would if that wouldn't be a bad idea, but like you only have like a certain amount of time that you could sell for.
Oh, gotcha.
So it's not like it's like it doesn't like you like the selling aspect of like the game is at most 10 to 15 minutes.
Gotcha.
So because like the way time works is like it isn't like how time works in reality. Like their daytime hours or like in gameplay is like 10 to 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. You're actually doing the shopkeeping and like restocking shelves and, you know, checking out customers. You don't have to do sweeping. All you have to do is just like restock the shelves after like an item gets sold or resell that item and like obviously take out, work the cash register. That's also when you get the opportunity of customers coming in for bounties. They say, hey, you know, you don't have 5 golden stars, but if you go to this cave, you can get these 5 golden stars. I'll give you 4 days to find these 5 golden stars. And if you find them, I'll give you, you know, like 50 grand for it, whatever. So that's also an opportunity to take on like side quests beyond just going into the caves. Like you actually have like a specific goal to find, like I said, like 5 golden stars or whatever the item may be.
Nice, dude.
So this back into the loop of Moonlighter.
Dig it, dude.
And that's about it for me on the gaming end.
Good old gaming end. Well, we had quite a busy week with news.
Mm-hmm.
We've got not a lot to talk about, but enough to make an episode.
That's a good way of putting it.
So let's start with just, I guess, the meteor stuff. Nintendo Direct.
Mm-hmm.
We got one of those bad boys a couple days ago with...
A lot of games,
but a lot of like iffy.
Not for me.
Yeah, not for me games, but we got a lot of news on games.
So yeah, let's go down the list and see if you have any, you know, as always, if you have something to say, then we'll talk about it.
Yeah, take us through, Mikey B.
First off, Fire Emblem Warriors.
We briefly talked about this in a previous episode that may or may not come out, or it did come out and I don't remember, but where are all these Fire Emblem games coming from? I don't understand. Like, because we even looked at the numbers, right? That the games didn't sell that well.
No, we looked at the 10. No, they went. They didn't make the overall best-selling games of 2021 for Nintendo. It did not make. It wasn't on the list.
Yeah, unless they have like a contract to make like 17,000 games in the next like 2 years. It's like, why? But okay, so I just shit on it. No big deal. It happens. We don't have to like all the games, but I did like that this game reminded me of Dynasty Warriors.
It is.
So I might have to check that out because mm-hmm. I love that like button masher, like throw 100 enemies at me and let me do like, you know, AAA and I do my triple combo and shit blows up. So I do dig that,
mm-hmm.
which I'll, there's gotta be a demo. This is a demo for sure.
Gotcha. So. Next up is Advance Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp.
I like this, dude. I had to watch this again.
Cool.
Just because, like, when I first jumped into the live, they were doing gameplay of it, and I never realized that this game is kind of like the Mario style that I really like, the turn-based, and, like, you mm-hmm. can only take, like, 4 steps sort of thing, and I want to try that out. And I wonder if maybe I'll really like it because it looks cool. So I might have to check this out. 20% off.
next up is No Man's Sky, which was like this space exploration game.
Yeah, I saw that. It's that game's like whatever. Not a huge fan of that. What about you, dude? What about how do you feel about Fire Emblem and Advance Wars?
Not for pass.
Okay. Dig it.
Fast.
All right, so No Man's Sky. It's a pass. I'm all right.
Yeah, it's pass. I'll pass. Next up is a game I think this could be a at worst case a day one cop for you. Mario Strikers Battle League.
Yeah. I've been waiting for this. You can find probably episodes from last year that this is like the one thing that I wanted this before golf and tennis. So finally we're getting Strikers on the motherfucking Switch. But the problem is, dude, those games fall flat fast.
Yes.
And I wonder how they can make it interesting just because, you know, I thought Mario Golf was going to be awesome, but I haven't touched that game since. So hopefully their online club thing can really help them stay afloat. So mm-hmm. we'll see.
I'll give that a demo. Yes, I'm also intrigued by that one. But as you mentioned, there hasn't been a really great Mario sports game in a while.
Yeah,
tennis was disappointing. Golf was not up to par. This is, yeah, so I'm hesitant to see what happens, but I'm hopeful.
Yeah, let's see Mario skateboarding, and it's just like Tony Hawk, and maybe we'll get some numbers up. So.
Yeah, no firm date, but Splatoon 3 coming this summer, you're going to get a co-op mode called Salmon Run Mode.
That looked really cool.
That wasn't bad. I'll give that a not bad.
I was like, these boss fights and like these like tactics to cover ground look pretty dope.
It's pretty cool. I play that. I play the initial Salmon Run on Splatoon 2, and that was pretty fun.
That watching that clip, I will be honest, made me want to play Splatoon 2, just to see what it's all about. Just because, I mean, I understood kind of what you were doing in it, and it really wasn't for me. But that demo helped. So, or that little DLC or clip for 3, it looked cool. So,
yes. Next up is remake of Front Mission, which is giant robots tactical game. So you have a giant robot and then you're doing some tactics.
I'm passing that. Pass.
Next up is, okay, after that is Disney Speed Storm, which is a Disney kart racer that's free to play.
This is, I really like this idea. And I really like that you have it's kind of like the Warzone thing where it's like the game's free, you buy whatever you want to buy, and like we'll give you the Disney IP to play with whoever you want. So Disney Pixar too.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a wide variety of characters and stuff that could potentially update a lot more, that would update frequently versus, you know, getting 42 tracks throughout like a year or two. Demo. For sure.
Next up, a bunch of ports are coming to the Switch. Star Wars Force Unleashed, Assassin's Creed, the Ezio Collection, and then Mobile Suit Gundam Battle Alliance.
I'm not too big into Assassin's Creed, mm-hmm. so we off that. Gundam looked decent, but I think there was a similar version of that on the PlayStation, I feel. Mm-hmm. But I can get down with Star Wars, dude. That looked pretty cool, and having that on the Switch could be fun.
Yes. I was hoping they would, when did they announce that? They also made a Boba Fett game called Bounty Hunter for like the PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3 era, around that time frame. I was hoping that that might have gotten, that if that got a release, remaster, whatever they're going to call it, that would have been pretty cool.
I wonder if they're going to remaster Shadows of the Empire, because that game was dope.
Oh, the one for 64? That would be cool, too.
Yeah.
Or just have it on for the 64 for their online collection. That would have been cool. That would be
been dope. Which I can agree. Never fucking make it past that stupid garbage boss. And that's like the second level, and it's annoying. So bring it back so I can try it again.
Alrighty. The next big game, Kirby. The Forgotten Land, we got to see some more gameplay. He also mentioned mouthful mode, which is allows you to like inhale a car and be like drive it around the world.
Oh yeah. This is dope. Kirby. Soul, dude. It's just, I feel like this is kind of just like an extra serving of awesome. Just because the gameplay by itself and like what we saw before, it looked cool, dude. Like, you didn't really have to do much to sell this to me personally. But this extra stuff is like, I could change the game. But you swallow a vending machine to help you out in the game. So it's like, literally the whole world that they set up for you is up for grabs to help you out. So I could dig this for sure.
Gotcha. I'm still in demo mode for this game, but it did help out a bit. Next up, MLB The Show is coming to the Switch. Which is cool if you're a baseball fan. There's not a lot of baseball games for the Switch. So it's a nice thing for them to have one.
That's what we're calling for, a new Super Mega Baseball on the Switch. Give the people what they want. MLB The Show on the Switch. I mean, if it can run it, sure.
Oh, it'll run. It'll just look awful.
Yeah,
it'll look like a PlayStation 3 game or 2 game, but it'll run, no doubt about that.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Exactly. When you get the Switch, you got to be prepared. Next up, a couple more collections: Kingdom Hearts, Kaluna, and Portal are coming. To the Switch.
Yeah, we could pass on all these. None of these are my thing.
The only one that was interesting is Portal. It's supposed to be a pretty cool game. Never played it, but I heard it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I heard that too.
That's.
Yeah, but that, I don't know.
Exactly.
It was worth a shot.
Yeah. Next up, Wii Sports is back with Nintendo Switch Sports. So if you remember that, you'll get your golf, your tennis, your bowling, all using the one Joy-Con as you kind of do the motion towards your screen. So if you remember that for the Wii, that you'll be able to do for your Switch.
The only thing I have to say about this is, like, why did it take so long?
Good point.
Like, this should have come out, like, day one. This is perfect. Golf would look better. You can play volleyball now. You can, there's a soccer mode, but you gotta attach the thing to your leg, which I thought was pretty funny. So, you can play, what is it, badminton?
Mm-hmm.
And they said they're going to update it, too. So, hopefully they put some, like, other stuff in there too, you know. What would be really cool too is, like, I know they're updating all the stuff too, but if they were to give you the Wii game in there too, so where, like, cool. You could do the Wii bowling, you could do the Wii baseball,
like the
Wii
classic tennis, version,
the classic version, yep. Or have a mode to do that, because I know they're obviously, like, I don't know if they're getting away from the Miis for that, but it'd be pretty cool to give you that version. So this is like a demo for sure.
Same boat, a demo range, yes. Next, Delicious Last Course of Cuphead finally hits the Switch. That's their DLC for the acclaimed Cuphead game. It's finally coming in June.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see when it comes out, because this shit's been for like 2 years. So
we'll see if it hits that date.
Yeah, but Cuphead still.
Cuphead's such an inventive looking game. When I look at it now, the DLC, like, wow, there's not a single game that I could really point to that kind of looks like Cuphead.
Yeah, it's got such a unique art style and like a really good feel to it, and it's hard. Plain and simple, dude. It's not one of those where it's like, yeah, you know, I beat this in like 4 hours, but this is like, good luck if you can beat it in like 20 minutes. You know what I mean? So definitely super fun. Still haven't beat it. I really want to save my controller, so I don't want to play it anymore. So I'll try the DLC. This is a try. I'll cop this.
Nice. Next up is some DLC for two games. First, Metroid Dread is getting two difficulty modes, one called Dread Mode, which is wild to me that if somebody could beat this game without getting hit once is that's mighty impressive. And then a mode which I wish came with the game initially, Rookie Mode, which is just makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah. The Dread Mode is going to be one that's out soon, isn't it?
They're both out that day.
Yeah. Give it a few weeks and maybe pop into YouTube and see anybody do it. So that it looks cool, but the one hit death is I get hit just like walking around, dude. Like I don't even know how you could just make it without. So definitely going to be in the YouTube queue for sure.
And then in a couple of months in April, Boss Rush mode is happening. So
that'd be sweet.
That's a fun way to play it. Da-da-da, da-da-da. Last two games. Well, we'll go with this one because I don't think we'll go with this one first. Xenoblade Chronicles 3. That was the last game they shown. That was the hype moment that after watching all these games, it's supposed to be real excited about owning a Nintendo Switch.
This is like the same thing with Fire Emblem, dude. Like, I don't know the numbers. And yeah, obviously people like different things, but what the fuck is this, dude? Like, it was, look, we're all looking for one thing out of Nintendo now. Like, we're all over the Switch Pro. That shit's not gonna happen. We're all looking for Zelda 2, Breath of the Wild 2. Like, what? Give the people what they want, man. Like, Xenoblade Chronicles 3, like, it did absolutely nothing for me, and it doesn't even look that fun. It's like an open world, like Kingdom Hearts looking thing. So I'm gonna have to pass on that big time, and I hope I don't have to see it again in a different, you know, trailer or some shit for Nintendo. So it's gonna be a no for me, dog.
All right, the last one, Mario Direct 8, is finally getting new content after being off for almost 5 years. They're coming with something, what they're calling it, the Booster Course Pack, which is 48 new tracks coming from now until next year.
I want to get your take on this. You're the Mario Kart guy.
I do like Mario Kart.
How do you feel about this? Does this prevent you from getting like the gold kart now? Is there going to be more tracks or?
No, I don't think. I hope not. Yes and no. Like I would have been more into this like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, but now like 5 years later for it to come out, it'd be like, I don't know. Maybe it's like a for me, a demo kind of like, just because it's been so long and this game's been out for like I said, 5 years, and people have been like hoping for this for like at least the last since it came out, this made sense for DLC for that for Nintendo to take so long for it. It's kind of disappointing, especially with 48 new tracks at this point. Can't you just make a whole new game? I'd rather be more excited with a whole new game than going for this kind of like patchwork. Okay, we'll give obviously Mario Kart 8 solves. It's the number two best selling Switch game for January. It's consistently in the top, you know, 20 best-selling games overall for every month for like since it came out.
Or so every year.
Every year. Oh, so it's obviously a big seller, but I think people are hoping for Mario Kart 9 because there were some rumors prior to it that there was some rumors that Mario Kart 9 was going to come out with some new mechanics. There was even a talk about Nintendo Kart where all the characters from Nintendo, like almost like a Super Smash Brothers.
That'd be dope.
Type thing would have come out where you're like every couple of months you could buy like, oh, this is the Donkey Kong pack, the Metroid pack, the Zelda pack. So there's a lot of hype for Mario Kart 9 coming out. So to get Mario Kart DLC is I think in the end, it'll probably be cool. In the end, I'll probably, you know, I'll probably cop it once it, like, once all the tracks come out. And it's like I get like a full 48 new tracks to play. So that'll give me like a whole bunch of new cups to get at it. But initially, it's, I'm mixed, I would say. I'm like a 7 out of 10 on it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm excited just because it's new tracks and it's cool, but also.
But they're really not new tracks, though.
They're remade. Yeah. They're remade tracks, too. So that's also a little bit iffy. And also the way they're doing it, like the strip feed month, at like for like the strip feed, or like a couple tracks in June, I think, or let's say the summertime, and then a couple more tracks. I've been more excited for this. Like, hey, here's 48 new tracks right now. Comes out in the fall, $30. I'll be like, cool.
Yeah.
I think like this kind of like drip feed slow way of doing it is kind of a sour taste in my mouth a little bit.
Yeah, it's well, first of all, it's highway robbery, dude. This is bullshit. But what's also cool, well, it's not cool, kind of, but they're also including it with the expansion you can get for online.
That's true.
So if you're like iffy on it, just get the online expansion, which is obviously more bang for your buck, and you get all the courses anyway.
True.
But
that's a good way of putting it.
Dude, what the how? Okay, we see the numbers. Yeah, for sure. So why not? But how do you keep doing this to me, man? Like, yeah, is it that hard to put all of this in a new game? Like, put what else? I mean, yeah, what else could you do? I guess looking at it from, like, I don't know, from a global thing, it's like, how different can you make Mario Kart now? Like, it was pretty cool to have Double Dash. That was neat. But what do you do next? You know? Because essentially, you're just doing the same thing. So it's like, I get it. That's like, yeah, we can bring all of Mario Kart to Mario Kart 8. But at the same time, it's been 5 years. Like, the lifeline for it, I mean, it's still strong. We see it. We've been seeing the numbers. But, like, it's very interesting when it comes to Mario Kart, man. And I wonder if this, like, I don't want to say that this Disney game is going to compete with Mario Kart, but it would be interesting to see, like, the way they go about adding courses and stuff like that. And if Mario Kart kind of follows suit with, like, a free online sort of thing to kind of, you know, put them on the board, too, for new stuff. So
it could be a transition to Mario Kart being more like an online service, like a Warzone or a Fortnite, or like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, or like a GTA 5 Online, which is another super, super old game that keeps on getting new content and new DLC and new that. So maybe Nintendo could see Mario Kart 8 Deluxe being the same way. I was like, hey, let's just create new content for year in, year out, and people will still buy it, and, you know, they'll still be collecting those checks.
In a dream world, man, and if I could, like, have one thing come to life, is I would love a Twisted Metal Mario game. Never gonna happen, obviously, but that shit would be tight. I would play the shit out of that. But, like, this Mario thing, man, like, it's cool that you're redoing, like, the 40 some maps, but, like, I wonder if this is part of, like, a grand scheme to see how much you can really pack into a game. And it still works pretty well. And then Mario Kart 9 will be just this massive thing. So this is, like I said, highway robbery, man. Like, this is not even that cool. Or at least bringing in a new character or two. Like,
that would have been cooler.
Something. Like, at least one new character per four pack. You know what I mean?
Yeah, per core. Ooh, that would be nice. If there's new characters and courses, that would be nice.
That would at least give you something to kind of,
or even new
for
weapons, or like new items, like you pick up, like, oh, if you get this, or like, we have this new item that changes the gameplay a bit.
Yeah. Something.
So there's a lot of ways they could have done it, and they kind of went the most
basic way possible, you know?
Sure. Good way of putting it.
So it's like they're just trying to get people on board, I guess. Which they don't need to, because everyone's still buying this game. So big ups to Nintendo for doing the least and doing the most at the same time, I guess. So can't be mad at it, but I would love to try them just to see, because they're bringing the Super Nintendo maps in too.
That's it, yeah.
Which that's pretty much the only one I would really like to try, just to see how they change those maps and give those maps life, because they had some pretty cool maps for those too. So seeing those on the Switch would be dope. But that, or What's the highway one in Mario Kart 64?
Yes, I remember that one.
Those are
where you could
ones.
Go through like the tunnel, and then it's a cheat. Yeah.
Yep. Those are like the only ones I would really like to play. So we'll see.
See, well, that's where Switch gets you. Yeah. They get you as always on nostalgia.
Yep.
So you see the next pack, and it's like, oh man, you could play N64 Coco Mountain. You're like, oh, I remember Coco Mountain. Whoa. I remember that shortcut. You go up to the left, and it's like that's how they hook you.
That they're doing something right, because everything is like surface level. It looks terrible. Like, oh, I got to pay fucking, you know, $40 for maps, for example. And it's like, I could play, you know, Moo Moo, whatever again, or like,
the country, Coco Valley,
you know. And it's like, it's so fascinating how this works out. And, you know, obviously it's going to be very successful because,
yes, no doubt,
it is what it is. And it's like the best like party game. You know what I mean?
It is.
Go to like a gathering. The Switch is so easy to have multiplayer and, you know, watch people get smoked in Mario Kart. Why not? So big ups to Nintendo. So.
And that is all the direct news.
Definitely. It was a fun watch, but I think very subpar with the news. So, but we got no news from the new Mario Rabbids.
Correct.
No news from Zelda. We got new mode from Metroid. No Luigi's Mansion 4. Nothing. So, we shall see what's next. What else you got for news, dude?
That was the news.
Yeah.
That was the biggest news I could think of.
Yeah, pretty beefy news. Well, we had the Warzone news.
That's true, which
was interesting. I didn't even know that dropped yesterday.
So that was just, we're doing a live podcast. Sometimes it happens.
Got to. Aside from video game news, did you watch the new Jurassic World trailer?
Oh, we could go. I did see that. That's a good call.
That shit looks tight.
It's cool, man. I like that they're bringing the old gang back together from Jurassic World 1 with Jeff Goldblum and Lauren Dern, and then Sam Neill, I think it was like 2 or 3. So yeah, it's cool that they're bringing back. Or maybe it wasn't one. Maybe they're all from one.
They're all from one. Okay. Yep.
They're all from one. Okay. So that's cool that they're bringing back the original cast to kind of wrap up the trilogy.
Yeah.
I'm also glad they call it like a wrap up the saga.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they call it the conclusion. So that's kind of a nice.
Yeah, because I think that last movie was a snoozer, dude. So yeah, I'm kind of glad they're wrapping it up, because I feel like they're doing like the Star Wars thing where they're like, let's play on your nostalgia. Let's bring back the old folk. Go out on a high note and let's release more movies. Because they said that this Jurassic World, like this is it for that, but they're still going to make movies around like Jurassic Park / World. So do whatever you want to do after this, but let's just wrap this up, bring everybody in, and hopefully they don't do as dirty like they did in Star Wars. So let's fingers crossed everybody makes it out alive again. So monsters look dope. The fact, you know, they have that Mission Impossible scene, which is like Chris Pratt in the streets of like Italy running away from a raptor or some shit, which was definitely, you know, Mission Impossible. The last Mission Impossible trailer, I can remember it perfectly. So, but is it a real action movie without a motorcycle scene in Italy, you know? So this looks really cool, man. And I really would love to see this in theaters too. So hyped for that.
Yeah, only in theaters sometime in June.
It's going to be sweet. We got anything else, man? I don't think I really saw anything else. We can kind of throw in a little sprinkles of stuff, but, did you ever watch Futurama?
Here and there.
Well, Hulu just picked that up for like another 20 episodes.
Nice.
But the internet is not having it because the original actor who played Bender, the robot, is not going to play Bender, the robot. So if you're on Twitter or on Instagram and you see Bendergate, that's exactly what it is. So I love that they're, you know, bringing back Futurama, but I kind of wish they wouldn't, because that was just such a good show and like kind of like a cult classic cartoon show. So bringing it back, nostalgia, but We need Bender. So I'm a part of Bendergate too. So bring back Bender. Oh, dude, one more thing,
sure.
Which we might have to do this later, or PlayStation talked about some indie games too.
Oh, they did. They did. They did.
That's
a good call. Let's see if I can get that one. Indie. PlayStation. Indie games. Just revealed 7 new games.
We could
here we go.
Knock that out in like 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, here it is. You can follow along. All right, first thing is first. This is not the article I need.
Do you want me to send you the one I got?
Oh, here we go. IGN helps me out.
Shout out IGN.
First things first. Yes, shout out to IGN. First thing, the first game, we're off the top, a game we're both interested in. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge.
Yeah, I need this game yesterday, dude. This is everything I want right now. Like, 8-bit side-scrolling. This is Turtles in Time, but boosted up. So I need this. I need to not see this game will arrive later this year. I need a date. Now. Or let the council boys, you know, if I can demo this bitch out.
The big news was Master Splinter will be a playable character.
Yeah. Dope. I saw the play style to this, the video that IGN shows, which shout out to IGN. It looks so much fun, dude. You buy one of the arcades for this, for sure. Like, you buy this, or you Raspberry Pi it, or you put you put the PlayStation or Xbox in an arcade system. This is what that's built for, so... I wish other games would do something like this too, you know. What I would really wish in another perfect world besides my Twisted Metal Mario game is if they would bring back the Captain Hook game that is kind of like this side-scroller beat-em-up, because I used to play that all the time. All the time at a place called Chimpy's. Shout out to Chimpy's. And I would go out of my way to play it. You know what I mean? Like, if they said that you had to buy like a TurboGrafx-16 and I had to go find that on, you know, GameStop or some shit just to play that game, I would do it. So that's another side thing, but moving on.
Moving on. Next, Hello Neighbor 2 is coming out. There'll be a beta on April 7th and it'll come out later this year.
This game looked interesting, dude. I've never played the first one, but I was kind of watching some people play, and I'm kind of into it. You know what I mean? I'm just like, haven't pulled the trigger on it, but this looks
Game Pass worthy.
Game Pass worthy for sure, which I think it's on there too. So
I believe it is. After that is Samurai Gun 2, which is a one hit kill platform fighting game.
What is that?
And we're moving on.
I do like fighting games from time to time.
True.
But it's got like the Among Us dudes in there too. Like, is this just like a regular fighting game or is it like something else?
It's a regular fighting game. Just with the Among Us characters in it.
This is an 8-bit.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Yeah, graphically, it's definitely always lots of 8-bit graphics.
This kind of looks like a Smash Bros.
I was going to say a little Smash Bros. 8-bit style game.
Yeah, this could be cool.
Mm-hmm. No release date yet, but it's coming.
Fascinating. Dig that.
Soon enough.
Next
is Salt and Sacrifice PvP mode.
Never.
Salt and Sacrifice, I believe, is kind of a like kind of a Dark Souls type game, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Question mark.
Gotcha. This has a really weird art style. Kind of like a trippy, druggy art style. It is called Post Void. This is a surreal high speed FPS that was released on Steam in 2020. It's finally coming to consoles. It's a classic arcade principle. Your goal is to blast your way through bizarre landscapes without dying as fast as possible as you can. All the levels are procedurally generated. There are no lives or retry. I mean, every time you fail, the game regenerates. And your goal is to get to the end of the level as quickly as possible.
That game looks insane, dude. It's like a Doom. Like original like Doom. Doom. Like just run for your life. That's very... I could dig that, dude. That looks cool.
All right, the final two. Moss Book 2 is coming out. Moss is a action platformer that was originally a PSVR game, but it's going to be, you'll be able to play it on your television screen. It's a classic, you know, mascot character platformer.
Yeah, I don't know what this is.
Okay.
I'll probably give that a pass, I guess.
Sure. Well, yeah, it's a classic character platformer. Think, you know.
Have you played that
think
before?
Think your Marios. Think your Crash Bandicoots. Think your Spyros. Think your Donkey Kongs. Think your Banjo-Kazooies. Your Ratchet and Clanks. So it's essentially a classic, like I said, you know, platformer.
Yeah, it's got that 8-bit style, like very Super Mario or very Mario-ish.
I think we're looking.
I've never seen that before.
I think we're looking at two different games there, Josh.
Oh.
I think you could be talking about the last game on the list.
Maybe. You're right.
Animal Well?
Yeah, I'm looking at the wrong one.
Oh, so the last game on the list is called Animal Well. It's a pixel art 2D game with survival horror elements. And you're right, this is definitely a kind of an 8-bit
side scroller
looking game, survival horror game.
Yeah, this one looks cool. I like that.
Yeah, it is. Yep, and this comes could come out at the end of this year or early 2023. They're hoping this game will take about 15 to 20 hours to complete.
Whoa.
So it's a bit of a meaty game with a lot of good puzzles that will get you thinking well into the night.
Did it.
And that was a very quick
PlayStation run through.
PlayStation news about 7 new innies coming to PlayStation.
Dig it. I've got nothing else, man.
I think that is the news.
That's pretty much it. Appreciate each and every one of you listening, and the Console Boys are out. See ya.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Gaming Console Podcast. Now, if you're not with us on the social game, you're really missing out. On Instagram, follow us at the Gaming Console Podcast. Facebook is the Gaming Console Podcast. Also, follow us on Twitter. We're the Console Boys on Twitter, so hit us up, tweet us. Everything podcast related episode wise, go to gamingcounselpod.com.
The Council Boys in the building tonight. Oh, what a feeling I'm feeling like.